Episode 15, The Things That Are Not Helpful, Part 2, For the Betrayed.
Hello, my name is Angela. I am a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I am a wife, I'm a mother of four, and I'm a stepmother of three. I was married for 14 years when I began to learn the secrets my now ex-husband had been keeping from me, all starting with his affair. My world, my identity, my worth were all in question. I didn't know or trust anything. But through that tragedy, something amazing happened. I found myself, and I began to learn how to truly love the person I saw in the mirror. It's not a destination, it's a journey. However, now I can honestly say that I am a beautiful, strong, intelligent, and brave daughter of God. I am a trauma survivor and thriver, as well as a certified life coach. I want to share my story, as well as my experiences and what I've learned, to bring others hope, healing, and help. So come with me, and together we can find courage in betrayal. Okay, for this episode, I want to now directly talk to the betrayed. I had another episode that was for the friends and family, but these things that are not helpful are for the betrayed particularly. There are a lot of destructive behaviors and actions that we, as the betrayed, often fall into. Although I cannot go into every possible thing to avoid, I can and want to discuss the most common areas and behaviors to try to avoid because simply, they are not helpful. To start, the sooner you understand your healing will not come from the one who betrayed you, the sooner you will begin to heal. Although the one who betrayed you is the reason for your pain, they will not be the way to your healing. So often we think and believe if they just understood our pain, or if they felt the magnitude of the situation, then we would begin to heal. We, for whatever reason, have this idea that we will never be able to trust or feel peace until they change. But that is not true. The reality is, even if they do that, even if they are incredibly sorry and sincere, which most of the time they're not, but even if they are or become that, we would still struggle. We would still get triggered often over almost everything, and we would still have a hard time trusting. In order to get out of fight, flight, or freeze, we have to change ourselves. Now, this is where I had a hard time. Why am I the one that needs to change when I wasn't the one who did it? The answer is simple. Because I'm the one who has to live and be with myself, and because I want to feel better. You are not punishing anyone other than yourself by waiting for someone else to save you. What I'm trying to say is, even if they were to step up and be the knight in shining armor you have been hoping for, you still would not feel safe. Because safety comes from within, so it isn't helpful to wait for them. Next, we have to talk about obsessing. Obsessing over anything is destructive and never helpful. Yet, all too often, we fall into the pitfall of wanting to know more. Obsessing over your spouse or significant other and or their affair partner or their indulgences, such as pornography. It is a behavior that will entrap you and keep you imprisoned. This includes, but is not limited to, watching or stalking, investigating and digging into the past and present. Obsessing is altering your life in the pursuit of trying to find or understand more. Unfortunately, you will never find anything that brings you peace or comfort. But instead, you will uncover more confusion, pain, and a desire to find and know more. It will never be enough. The reason we often fall into this behavior is because we are searching for the truth. We feel lost, blind, and we have been left sitting in the darkness, and we are desperate to find anything that will help shed light into the situation. In theory, this makes sense. It seems reasonable, and to some extent, almost necessary. However, that search for truth will very quickly turn into obsession and compulsion. The more you begin to find the truth, the more you feel the need to know more.
For me, what started as trying to find evidence or proof of an affair soon overtook my own desires, and I began to feel consumed and obsessed with trying to see and know anything. I would stalk and obsess over every social media outlet and post. I would randomly drive past my ex-husband's work just to see if his car was there. I would log into every credit card and bank account and watch purchases to see if he was buying anything out of the ordinary. But my obsession did not end once proof of the affair was known. I still continued in this behavior, but my focus became finding the why. Why did he do it? Is he still involved with her? Does he love her more than me? Was he going to pick her over me? I wanted to know, and because my ex-husband wasn't going to tell me, I thought I could find the answers I needed on my own. I was so consumed with the two of these other people that I became lost, and I fell deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole until I reached a point that nothing else mattered. I felt paralyzed and controlled by these two people and their choices. It didn't matter that they knew I was watching them. They still found a way to continue in their relationship, and I was still left in the dark. No matter how hard I watched or obsessed over them, I still didn't have the answers. Lies and deception were all I was told, and no one but me had any desire to get out of the darkness. Therefore, I was never going to know or have the answers I was desperately searching for. Because my ex-husband wanted to lie and hide, my pursuit to catch him or her was not going to stop their behavior, but instead just made them lie better. Obsessing and worrying about the answers you don't have only leads down a pathway of pain and destruction. You will never find enough. You will never know enough. Trust has been broken, but you will not be able to rebuild it this way. It isn't helpful. Another undertaking that does more harm than good is turning to marriage counseling. Let me clarify. When two people are lurking and wanting to find connection and support, marriage counseling is perfect. However, when infidelity, addiction, lies, and abuse are part of the equation, then it is a different beast. Most of the time, marriage counseling is a process of working to bring connection and intimacy back into the relationship. But after betrayal, trying to connect and to be intimate can be really painful and cause more damage. Let me give a simple example. During my first marriage, I once came across an article that was titled, "Are You Easy to Love?" This hit me hard because, according to my ex-husband, no, I was not very easy to love. I had tried to be self-reflective, and I could see how I, in fact, could be difficult or hard to love. That only supported my belief that it must be my fault, that I was not receiving the love I was searching for. So I sacrificed more. I shut my mouth and I avoided confrontation in the effort to be easy to love. I perpetuated my abuse, and because my ex-husband wasn't trying to build connection or be easy to love himself, he used my behavior for his gain and weaponized it against me. To build a relationship and to achieve connection, there has to be self-reflection, work, and sacrifices. But when only one party is doing all the sacrificing and compromising, that is when it turns to abuse. Now, I'm not blameless in this situation. I bent and moved my boundaries and compromised myself and my identity. But my ex-husband used it and had no desire to take any responsibility himself. In addition, honesty and transparency were not present. Therefore, nothing can be built or created. Trying to build or work on a relationship while two people are in the relationship are in pieces is setting yourself up for failure. It is the equivalent of building a house of cards. It will not support the weight of betrayal, and eventually it will come crashing down. But all hope is not lost. The relationship absolutely can be rebuilt if that is what both parties truly want. But you will need to heal separately first. Well, healing isn't a destination, but you will need to address and close open wounds before you can start putting weight on it.
I needed to address my codependency and people-pleasing before I could work on my first marriage. Otherwise, I would have unknowingly continued to allow abuse and disrespect. And the bottom line, that just isn't helpful. The last thing I'm going to talk about is latching onto a specific words or definition. Let me see if I can explain. A really common word I hear everywhere is narcissist. Social media posts, definitions, and explanations of what a narcissist is can be very enticing. We will hear all the buzz around and pertaining to it, and the word and description will begin to resonate and feel like they are talking about your relationship. Therefore, we begin to label it as such. And this is where the danger lies. These labels don't free us, but actually entrap us further. And let me explain how. Let's start with the label narcissist. Once we begin to convince ourselves that our spouse or significant other is a narcissist, we stop trying to see and understand them and begin to only see the evidence that supports or our suspicions or whatever. We then convince ourselves that they are a narcissist and that we are their victim. Again, that puts us back into a victim mentality, not a healing mentality. In addition, many people can emulate and have narcissistic tendencies, but are not actually a narcissist, meaning they talk and walk like a narcissist, but it is their own trauma and pain that is leading their behavior. However, many times these labels feel like they are helping us learn and understand. It feels like knowledge to some extent, and it is. We should learn and try to understand as best we can, but we don't actually know if that is what's happening. This is no different than when others who have never experienced betrayal try to tell you that you should or shouldn't stay with your spouse or significant other. They see a lot of the evidence, but they can't see everything. This is the same for your spouse. Although I believed that I knew my ex-husband better than anyone else, I still didn't know a lot. I couldn't read his mind or heart. I didn't know the intent of his behaviors. I could only see what I could see. The point being, learning and educating yourself is not the problem, but in fact, I want you to do that as much as possible. But attaching yourself or your spouse to a particular label or definition will just keep you a victim. I know that sounds harsh, but the longer you sit and feel sorry for yourself, the longer you are going to be in pain. I say this to you not because I'm so much better than you, but because I have done these things. Each of these behaviors and actions feel like they should help, but they don't. So I'm here trying to help you learn from my mistakes. If you want to heal, if you want to feel peace and have confidence in yourself and in your relationship, then these things just aren't helpful. Thanks for joining me here today. Take courage, and until next time, stay strong, my friends. Thank you so much for joining me here today, but I could really use your help. This podcast is new, and not very many people know about it. I know that every podcast and social media outlet will ask you to like, leave a review, or share this with a friend, but that is because it's the only way it will reach more people. So if this podcast spoke to you, or if you appreciated anything, please just take a moment to share your thoughts and impressions. I personally would be forever grateful because you just don't know who may need to hear it. Thanks again.